with the first game you played them, obviously it was sold, it was 2 weeks ago. What in that game that you like, that you think you can build on? Not talking game plan wise, but obviously, what did you see from that first matchup that you said, okay, I like this?
I think there was some stretches where we did a good job of executing things to where we either made it very difficult for them offensively, or we moved the ball, you know, on a few series the way that we were looking to move the ball. We just didn't do it very consistent. So we're able to at least pull really kind of the mistakes we made. And really for us, it's about not duplicating those and not putting ourselves in a bad position, which, you know, we've done, you know, all three times over the last 2 years where we get behind and it's the wrong team to get behind as much as we have.
With following up on that question, obviously I've talked to you about how difficult it is to play Patriots because they just pretty much force you to play perfect. Are there any other teams that do that? I know everybody wants to do that, but are there any other teams that put pressure on you to play a perfect game? And when you do have that pressure, how difficult is it on players?
I think anytime you play, you know, a team that has, and there's not a lot of them left, it seems like, you know, the guys are either getting older or they've retired, but the guys that have, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterbacks, makes it very hard. You know, New Orleans obviously right now are rolling pretty good. There's a game, you know, looking back at it, you know, we're playing it well enough defensively, we just didn't really match it offensively. And, you know, you play a team that like Green Bay with Aaron, that makes it to where there's not much room for error. Just being in that division, playing those guys two times and seeing him play when he was younger, it was even tough. And, you know, it's just, you have to, you can't give them free possessions. And you gotta make everyone count, and can't turn the ball over. Can't, you know, have a special teams error to where, you know, you're giving, you know, a guy like Tom Brady an extra possession.
And your three primetime games prior have been some of your worst performances this season. Can you put a finger on why, and have you put any thought into switching up going into the sport?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to really, you know, put a finger on exactly why. You know, usually when you're playing in those games, you're playing good teams. I mean, they're not going to just have you play anybody. You know, and we've played some, you know, playing at Baltimore, it's never been easy, and at Carolina, you know, and then we had Oakland here, and we had it was a game where we're right in the mix, and we didn't do it well enough there at the end of the game, you know, on either side of the ball to help us get a win. So, you know, I'd say two of those games weren't the kind of performances that we want. You know, the slightest error, you know, puts you in a bad place. You know, really, the Baltimore game stands out on its own as we did not play well in any phase. And Carolina, you know, we're right there, right at the end of the half, and then, you know, it just kind of snowballed on us.
Patriots able to sack your quarterback seven times when they're not really a get after the quarterback type?
Yeah, they're a little more difficult than people give them credit for. I mean, there's a reason why they haven't let up more than 17 points since about the fourth week of the season. You know, they force you to get the ball out quick, and, you know, we had a couple protection errors, and, you know, it really put Matt in a bad spot where a few times he thought he was good, and all of a sudden somebody came free in his face, whether it was, you know, O-line, running back, tight end, we all took our turns, play call. There's a couple of those in there where I didn't really give him a good chance and kind of put him in a bad spot. So, you know, we got to do a better job of making sure that we handle that front. You know, they make it difficult because those guys, they do a good job game planning. They find your weakness and they try to maximize using the information they have.
How different is prepping for them without Gronkowski?
Well, it's still going to be it's always difficult because Josh will do a good job of using the guys that he has and putting them in different positions and really forcing your defense to try to figure out where everybody is. And he even did it last time by moving, you know, some of those guys around and showing some looks at, you know, our guys. You don't necessarily see that exact formation and he makes you put stress on your defense that way, where it's just constant adjustment on the sideline. And a lot of times he doesn't even go, he won't go back to it. So you see it one time, then you'll never see it again. So a lot of times you have one shot to try to make a good play. But that's why he's really good. That's why they've had a lot of success. They have good players, but at the same time, he puts those guys in a really good position.
I was trying to think of
a perfect game against you. The quarterback got hit a lot. They gave up a touchdown on offense. You had a turnover. So is that good news or bad news because they scored 35 points?
Well, it was bad news because we didn't come through on the other side of the ball. We turned the ball over. We were down in the red area. We didn't score touchdowns. We have to. When we get our opportunities, we got to make them count. And we didn't do it last time for sure. And we didn't play very good complementary football. We all three phases. We were just one side of the ball did well, then the other side stalled out and kind of hit or miss. And to have a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter, we have to be on it all three phases. We get a short field, we got to take advantage of it. If we get them backed up, we got to try to hold them back there and flip the field position and to our advantage. And until we do that, that's where it's always going to be difficult against these guys. And we need to put one together.
I was trying to think of a good Kenyon Drake comp. I know you had Forte in the past. Are there some similarities there, or maybe you even have a better guy?
I don't really have a good comparison. I don't him and Matt really. They're two different. I can't speak of when Matt was younger though. I mean, I had him when he was, I think, 30. So I think Drake's got, he's got him on speed a little bit. I know Matt probably won't like that, but I think the versatility of being able to run the ball both inside, outside, and be effective in the passing game is probably really as close as you can get to comparing those two. But I think Drake's a unique guy because, I'll never forget before we drafted him, one of the first things out of his mouth was, I'm still allowed to play kickoff, right, if I ever become the starter. And, the fact that that's kind of his mindset, I mean, I love that. That special teams, it's important to him.
When you watch the film of him in that first kind of showcase game, where are the areas that you say, I like this and this needs to improve?
I think just getting used to, being on the same page as the line. I think the more reps he gets, the more he understands of when he should press the ball up, where he can kind of help our old line, with some of the holding calls. When you have a guy with his ability to jump laterally and really get guys pulled off the offensive linemen and they don't expect you to do certain things, that's kind of where you have that miscommunication. And, it's kind of the good and the bad of having a guy with his ability. It's really going to be reps of just understanding how much he has to press the heels of the offensive line to help them out, keep them on their blocks. And I think over time, it's only going to get better. I thought he did a great job with his ball security this last week. He saw a different guy when he got into traffic, making sure that he protected the ball. And, we just have to keep growing from that. Anytime you have a running back that you can count on down in and down out to make sure we have the ball at the end of the series, that's what you're looking for.
And were you expecting either Damian Williams or Devon Godshaw to practice today?
Damian, I would say he's not going to practice. Godshaw, we'll kind of see how it's going. I mean, it's looking like we should have a chance for him to practice today.
We have a quarterback right now. Quarterback with Matt Moore particularly.
Yeah, Matt won't practice today.
Is this looking like a long-term thing with him?
Yeah, I got to see how he feels after this week. So he's...
After this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's just doesn't, he got banged up pretty good.
What has Stephon Anthony brought to the table since being active?
I think he's a guy that, he hasn't really had a lot of opportunities this year. And, when you get this late in the season, you got a guy that's really pretty much been fresh and waiting for his opportunity. I think you're seeing a guy that plays with a lot of energy and he's played before. He's not that many years in the league, but. He's had a season where he was productive, and I think he's excited to be out there, and I think it's good that we can throw some other bodies out there and, see how many times we can put him in position to make plays. I've really been impressed with just his overall attitude from the get-go. I mean, it's not easy sometimes to come in. You think you're going to jump right in and kind of be part of it, and you had to wait around a minute, and he never wavered. He just kept grinding.
Speed from a speed element or, athleticism, is there anything?
obviously he has really good speed laterally, and he can cover a lot of ground. And, you know, I always like a guy that with that size that has the athletic ability. He really caused us a lot of problems on our side of the ball when he was on the scout team. You know, that he really kind of turned a lot of people's heads. He'd get his hands on a lot of balls, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to elevate him and make sure that he was, you know, playing on Sundays.
With Charles Harris, do you feel him pressing at all? And you say what he does goes beyond the sack numbers. Why aren't those sacks coming, though?
I've said this before. I never really pay attention to sacks. I always look at pass disruption, how many times you're hitting the quarterback, how many times you're putting pressure on the quarterback where he has to move off the spot and he's got to get rid of the ball sooner than he wants to. You know, as long as he keeps doing that, that's all that really matters to me. Just keep getting better as a young player. Like I've said before, he's seen a lot of things he's never seen before, in the run game especially. And, you know, his job is to get better every week and keep finding ways to just create pressure on the quarterback.
So you're pleased with this rookie year then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain about what he's been doing.
I think you guys are averaging 25 points at Hard Rock Stadium. Is that all about execution, or is there something to the comforts and familiarity of home?
I mean, every game's kind of its own story, so it's hard to really correlate anything when it comes to that. I think our guys have done a good job when we've played at home, especially the back half of the season where we've moved the ball a little better. We need to eliminate the turnovers. That's really the thing that's holding us back. Some of the penalties have really hurt us. But, you know, there is something, you know, when you don't have to travel. I'm sure guys, you know, legs feel a little different. But, you know, the good teams always find a way to win, whether it's at home or on the road. A
couple more guys.
Jordan Phillips is at his best, and it looked like on three or four plays in the last game, he just destroyed someone. What challenges does he pose for the opposing offense?
He's a big athletic guy that, you know, when he's rolling and he starts feeling confidence, especially early in the game, he's a hard guy to block because he feels dominant. He feels unstoppable. And I think that's, you know, he really brought a great attitude last week. He was a guy that you heard on the sidelines from the get-go, you know, locker room, during the game, halftime. I mean, he's been feeling it the last few games. I think he's excited that we're kind of at that part of the season where it's do or die. We got to get it going. And he's been a guy that's stepped up. And I think he sees what's going on where some guys are banged up and he's got to step up, and he's done that.
The 42-yard touchdown by Kenyon Drake, was that kind of more of a, you know, freelance type deal, or, you know, it happened off kind of a broken play, or did it happen as?
When we called that play, I didn't think he was going to do what he did. But when you call those plays, and he knew there was going to be one guy unblocked, and we kind of set it up that way, and, you know, he did a good job of setting that guy up and then making him miss, and then the O-line had the rest of those guys taken care of and gave him a big enough crease to where once he got to that second level, he's a tough guy to catch.
Last question. How reasonable is it to expect a big play from Drake every other game?
I don't think it's unreal. I mean, I think it just happens. You know, when you got a guy with that much speed and he has the quickness to make guys miss in the open field, it's something that, you know, you hope to expect, you know, especially as his career goes on. But, you know, right now I don't want him pushing to try to do that. I want the, you know, let the play come to you. And I think he's trying to do that.